Arkansas's longest-running midday sports talk show. Coming to you live from the Oaklawn Hot Springs Studio. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only casino resort. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name. Now, here's your host, Justin Acree, on the Buzz Radio Network.
Feel so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know, but no, he knows the code. It's not about the
sound. All right, welcome into the zone. Acree Free Zone continues all week long for all the folks out there who are excited about that. You're welcome. For all those who miss Justin Acree, he'll be back on Monday. Chris Kane filling in today with my buddy Trey Reed.
What's up, Chris?
Of course, Todd Pierce holding it down as he's done all week here in the studio. Todd, great to see you again this morning. Thanks for all your work this week, buddy.
You've been
doing a great
job
so far.
Always good to see both of you.
Always love hearing you on the Sunday Buzz with Bill. Always love hearing Trey, of course, every morning on Wednesdays with the boys of Morning Mayhem. So this is your double duty today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've already kicked my radio day off.
Do you have anything left for us? Do you have anything left in the tank?
I saved a little.
Oh, just a little?
I saved a little.
Okay,
bit.
Thank
yeah.
you. You did come up with the question of the day. Todd's going to post that here in just a couple of minutes. Got a lot to get to on today's show, though. Of course, Carson Brumbaugh is going to join us, brought to you by Pinnacle Parties, coming up at 10:30, talking about the Razorbacks' win this past weekend against Ole Miss. Nice job by the Hogs getting that walk-off victory on Sunday. They are now getting ready to take on Oklahoma for their final home series of the season before they head over to Kentucky to end out the regular season before they start conference play. Softball team starts the conference tournament today. First pitch scheduled for 1 o'clock against Mississippi State. We'll have that in our Red White report and give you a preview there. Michael Felder joining the show at 11:30 today. Talking about college football news. A couple of college football notes, and we'll get to them here in just a couple of minutes. USA Today had a report, the SEC post-spring rankings. Trey, which of course we have to do because in the engagement economy we live in, you have to get some sort of fan base uproar, and we'll give you the rankings
it's
of that.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's constant, and it is the content machine has to keep spinning, and we have to keep feeding it, apparently. Also, something I didn't get to get with RJ on Monday was the most punishing college football schedules according to CBS Sports. We'll give you those here in just a couple of minutes. Entertainment Report coming up at 12. We've also got our friends joining us from the Food Bank to talk about an event that they have coming up later this week. And our Entertainment Report, and they're going to take part in birthday trivia, whether they know it or not. How are you at birthday trivia? And you were on the morning show with the guys. Did they go through all the birthdays with you this
they
morning?
They went through one, and honestly, Chris, we may have gotten our wires crossed a little bit because I prepared some stuff for birthday trivia.
Oh, perfect.
So I'm going to win everything.
Oh, perfect. Well, then it looks like our guests, if they're even listening right now, I have no idea. The trap that they're walking into. That's so whoever right. has Trey or me for birthday trivia today, congratulations. You're already going to be the winner. It's just going to be whoever calls in at the right time.
Now, I don't know who you have on your list, but I suspect that many of those
little
are
overlap.
Little overlap.
Little
yeah.
overlap. It's a good birthday day today.
It is a good one.
It's pretty good.
Some big stars, big folks.
If you want to connect with us, of course, you can always call in or you can connect on our text line, and we'll read some of those comments throughout the show. Do want to touch on something that I've been seeing in the last 12 to 24 hours online that's made a few waves, and it was a comment made by Ryan Silverfield to Pete Nakos of On3 Sports as we are in that time period now, post-spring, and I'll give you these post-spring rankings here in just a second, Trey, and I know you probably could guess where Arkansas is ranked on that list for the SEC, but there was something that was said yesterday, and it was published in the afternoon on 3 Sports from Ryan Silverfield, and it's getting mixed reaction. I think it depends on what your perspective is of the Razorback program right now in terms of football, if you're optimistic, pessimistic on the new coaching staff, on this new coaching hire, because I don't think he said anything that is wrong, so to speak, but here's what the quote was on 3. Quote, I don't know. When we line up, how we're even going to match up against Utah. I don't know how we match up with Georgia in our first SEC game from a talent standpoint. So let's be the best in the country in the controllables. Best in the country in attitude, best in the country in effort. Those things have nothing to do with talent. We're going to harp on that all the time. Best in the country in how much film we study and the execution and discipline. So if you read the comments under that quote, they're understandably mixed because what quote has universally agreed upon comments anyway. But what was your, when I read that just now, initial reaction coming from the new Razorback head coach after the spring, after he's got a chance to not go through the lip service, the coaching talk, but more so, okay, you know what you're going into the fall with now. You
right,
have a set roster Portal's closed. These are your guys. All right, here's what you have to say about them. Initial reaction.
Initial reaction is much like yours. I think your perception or your take on it is going to depend, as you said, if you're optimistic or pessimistic, or if you liked the hire or if you didn't, I guess. I got to think about the Hunter Yurecek comment back at the Touchdown Club, I believe it was.
That will live on in infamy, I think.
But I mean, it's kind of in the same vein, right, what we're talking about there. But as you said, Chris,
almost a little too honest, but also it's appreciative.
It's a little too honest, but it's honest. Yeah. I mean, what is he going to say? We're going to, you know, smash Georgia in the mouth, you know? No, he's not going to say that. So, yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it. I like honesty. I mean, you know, the truth shall set you free.
And it's also in print, which makes it a little tough because
you can't get the nuance, tone.
Tone matters, and in tech, tone with text usually don't go well together. So there's not an opportunity to say, how did he say it? What was his mannerism like when he said it? I mean, it's in a text, it's in an interview with On3, so it is what it is.
Chris, I haven't seen the comments. You said they're split, yeah. But I mean, give me sort of in general terms what those comments look like.
You know, some folks have commented, oh, wow, are we just going to say we don't know what we have? And after spring, some are saying, wow, way to really make us excited for the season. Another one said, way to set the expectations on the ground floor to start. So, I mean, most people that I've seen are not too happy about it. But then I've seen others who have said, hey, what do you want him to say? At this point, he is taking over a program that won 2 games last year. So going into it and saying, oh, we're going to do this and that and that, and we're going to be so great at this and that, he's essentially said, we're going to control what we can control, which I think is completely valid and understandable when it comes to you're taking over a program that couldn't do the little things right at times, taking over a program that had trouble with mistakes that were so costly. They absolutely cost the game with a couple of turnovers last year. 2 games last year, explicit turnovers at the end, changed the entire trajectory of an entire season and a coaching career, by the way.
That's right.
So I think when it comes to, well, what were the comments? It was you got half of them who think that, hey, this is what he should be saying because, let's face it, he's taking over a 2-10 program from last season. And the other half is saying he needs to be more enthusiastic. He needs to be more of a rah-rah guy, a la Houston Nutt when Houston first came in and revived the program after Danny Ford left in the 90s.
You know, you said something about setting expectations. And I don't think there's anything wrong with setting realistic expectations. What's the alternative to set expectations so high that there's no way they can be met?
Well, yeah, I think what you have to do, though, is you have to balance selling your program and selling your potential with understanding what your expectations could be in year one, right? Like, you have, as a head coach, there's a delicate balance of, hey, I'm still recruiting, number one, which does weigh more heavily in the financial world these days than it did in the, you know, salesmanship world previously. But you have to sell some semblance of hope. I mean, this is the hope-selling season. Spring and summertime is when hope is, hey, baby, hope is hot this time of year because we've already sort of forgotten about what happened last fall. Fall, hey, that was previous coach, previous administration, you know, previous staff. Everything now is, let's go. We got a great team. We got a great opportunity. Look at the talent we brought in. I mean, you are selling something that you've got to be able to get butts in the stands, in the seats. You got to get sponsorship. So there is a reality of, hey, you're part coach, but you're part salesman of the program at the same time.
Two things I've got to say to that, Chris. I am a firm believer in setting realistic expectations. You know where I work most
as a Jaguar
days.
Fan,
when
I completely
when
understand.
I am not here on the radio at the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, a lot of things we can't control, like the weather and how many ducks are going to show up.
You mean nature? You can't control
exactly.
Nature.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to set expectations realistically. But to your point, I think, and this goes to other things I've heard Ryan Silverfield say. I mean, he took some criticism coming in right off the bat with some of the things he said. I think he's got a lot to learn in the public relations realm about how to balance that, how to be realistic, how to be honest, but not create the kind of reactions you're talking about with how people are reacting to this.
And you do want to, this was to a national publication as well. So you are trying to sell your program. you are trying to sell to any. On3 is also a prominent recruiting service. They have a lot of recruits who go on there and check. And if you're saying, I don't know how we're going to match up against Utah, you're selling uncertainty. That's not a great thing to
sell.
So
how do you phrase that? How would you have answered that question?
I would say, I know we're going to match up.
Because you know something about PR.
You never want to say, I don't know how. I think that's the thing, and that's the thing we criticize Sam Pittman about.
I was about to bring that up.
When you say, I don't know, when we line up, how we even match up against Utah, you just remove, I don't know. You take I don't know out of the equation. What is the hardest thing in sales? It's uncertainty. Uncertainty makes marketplaces tepid. They are not interested in any kind of growth when there's uncertainty. And when you say, I don't know, that's your first line. Immediately it's like, okay. Well, you don't know. Instead, you take out that and you say, all I can tell you is this. When we line up against Utah,
there you go.
Here's what we're going to be the best at in the things we can control. And then you list those things. We're going to be disciplined. We're going to be this and that and all the things he mentioned there. That's all good. But when you start with, I don't know, we're getting right back into the, well, explain this, coach, in the press conference after. The I don't knows that creep in, that's where you start to get people go, man. What do you mean you don't know?
Do you know how to do your job almost is what
begs
that question.
What do you mean you don't? I think I don't know needs to be completely removed from the coach speak at the University of Arkansas. We talked before. I just think communication, and the U of A has had a communication issue as an administration and from the standpoint of trying to get messaging out there, they've had issues. And when you start anything with, I don't know, all of a sudden people go, well, what are we doing here? you don't know. You got to know. You know, at least say, hey, look, all I can tell you is this. When we match up with Utah, here's what we're going to be good at. We're going to be good at the things we can control. We're going to be extremely disciplined. We're going to take care of the football. We're going to be sound in our fundamentals. And we're going to make sure that we are the best representatives for the University of Arkansas that we can be and will be.
You're
and
hired.
Boom, there you go. That right there is just general. What did I say? Did I say anything substantive?
Really didn't,
I didn't
nothing,
say anything substantive.
Nothing substantively different from what he said.
All I said was something with some level of certainty.
It's semantics, Chris. I think it's what we're getting at. It is deftly maneuvering a difficult question and not using certain, I think, what might call trigger words.
Yeah.
I don't know is a trigger word.
Well, I don't know clearly. The one thing you don't say after the previous coaching staff is, I don't know, because that is what used to set everybody off after the post-game press conferences. Texter writes in, look at what Chad Morris said whenever he was being interviewed. Left lane hammered down. Never happened amid some expectations us Hawk fans had in the interview. There is again, it's a balance. You don't go in there with the fake sayings and just try to get all the different slogans in there. You don't do that. I mean, it's being confident. It's selling some semblance of hope. At the same time, understanding, hey, look, we may have a challenge ahead. I mean, you can be honest about that. Yeah, of course you do.
You play in the SEC,
you took a 2-10 football team, and you're currently, post-spring rankings, according to USA Today, the league says, oh, is it deeper than ever? Does it have a champion? Give me, where do you think Arkansas is ranked in the post-spring, which, of course, doesn't really matter, but it should be good bulletin board material for the locker room. Where do you think they're ranked out of the 16 teams in the conference right now?
15?
16. Close. Dead last.
Dead last.
According to Paul Meyerberg, expectations are not very high in new coach Ryan Silverfield's debut. One thing the Razorbacks should get from the start is more consistency on offense after Memphis ranked near the top of the group of five in scoring yards per play in each of Silverfield's final four seasons. So you've got the bulletin board material. You've got the nobody believes in us right now. So get out there and use it. Hey, look, I know people don't believe in us right now, but I can tell you that. I mean, there's ways to promote the program, and when you're talking to a national publication, I think you have to be mindful of that at all times. And anytime you start anything with uncertainty, you're going to get recruits who see it, you're going to get others who see it and say, oh, okay, they still haven't figured it out there at Arkansas. Looks like that's going to be a nice, easy win.
I don't disagree with anything, and I mean, your line of argument here is sound, Chris. I think getting back to what you said about it's in print. What was the tone? I mean, did he just say, I don't know how we're going to line up against Utah, or I don't, was it said like that?
We won't know because we weren't there.
Right. I know, but that's what I'm.
So, yes, yeah. I'll give him a little bit of a break on that. But if you look at the rankings for the SEC right now, who do you think the top three are post, if they were ranking them post spring rankings moving into the season? Top three. You know,
Georgia, Texas,
number two,
Texas, Alabama.
Number one. Oklahoma's actually listed third. Alabama fourth.
Okay.
Sooners are
okay.
A team to watch after taking a leap into the playoff last season, have already turned around the defense and won the league's best. Venables now looks for a similar growth.
I'm not sold on Oklahoma being that high.
I mean, they were pretty good last year. I could see them being right back in the playoff conversation again. Obviously, they've always been a great program, great recruiter. Texter writes an ashtray. Of course, Trey, you're never going to get away from your day job. Ashtray, when the AGFC is going to open turkey season up earlier. Season's been late for years. Turkey population is up.
Obviously, that's a hunter, and I must make a full disclosure here. I am off the clock with Arkansas Game and Fish right now, but I will do my best to answer that question. It did open earlier this year. It was now that was by zone. So zone 3, Southeast Arkansas, lands behind the Mississippi River. Levee opened first on April 6th and April 13th in zone 2 and then April 20th in zone 1. So hunters have been complaining about that, and Game and Fish, the commission, responded by opening the season earlier. So
I will tell you.
Now,
are turkey hunters the most passionate hunters out there?
I think so.
If you were to rank intensity of hunters,
turkey and duck but turkey hunters are, and yeah, I'd say they're by far the most passionate.
Okay.
I mean, it's a game you play that you know you're not going to win very often.
What does that mean? You're not going to get anything.
You're not going to shoot a turkey most days you go out there.
So that day that it happened, I mean, because I know friends who are turkey hunters, and it is almost an obsession.
It is an obsession.
And I don't know how they operate businesses. They are successful, and they will literally travel the country
to go turkey hunting. I ran into a former colleague at Arkansas Game and Fish, who worked over in East Arkansas in our wildlife division. Ran into him at the Hillbilly Hideout truck stop in Ozark. I was coming home from Northwest Arkansas yesterday, and he was actually headed to Oklahoma. And he's already been to Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma. But that's what you get with turkey hunters. That's why I think you're saying they've got to be the most passionate.
They have to be. They travel all around the country. Yeah. I know one friend who wants to kill a turkey in every state that it's possible to kill a turkey.
Yeah.
And he's on a journey to do so.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing, Chris. It is definitely a thing.
So duck would be second.
And we've got different subspecies of wild turkeys across the country. And so that's another, like, you know, a slam. You've got to check off an Osceola in Florida.
Really?
A Rio, a Merriam's, a Gould's, an Eastern. Yeah, it's a thing.
So you were essentially trying to fill your bingo card up with turkeys.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it takes a whole new level. I was told... Matt Jones told me years ago, he said, it's like the SEAL Team 6 of hunting, whereas duck hunting is very casual, you know,
we're all
talking in the blind, having a good time, where turkey hunting apparently is pure solitude. Like, I've never been before, so I have no idea.
You can hunt with others, but you got to be super quiet, you got to be incredibly camouflaged, you got to be still, you got to be a good caller, and I think that's what drives turkey hunters, is that conversation that you're having with the bird, it's sort of an intimate relationship you have with your quarry. No, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it happens with duck, too. I mean, you're calling
it
back and forth a little bit.
But it's not quite the same.
You've got
this 20-pound bird walking around on the ground that can see 270-degree field of vision and perfect color, and they will bust you.
For the smallest movement?
For the smallest thing. Now, this morning on Morning Mayhem, we had a guy called in to complain about and it's Forest Service lands that are cooperatively managed with Game and Fish, about timber harvest going on while he was turkey hunting. And then somebody who worked for a timber company called in and said, "Well, I had two gobblers strutting in front of my log truck the other day." So it's irrational because they're wild animals. They'll do a lot of crazy stuff. But turkeys are, it's got to be the hardest. It's got to be the hardest.
It absolutely is something that I'm interested in, but not to the level of what it takes, because the level of what it takes to get into it, apparently. And like you said, if way more times than not, you're coming back empty handed.
That's right.
Then you really have to get lucky to get one.
That's right.
And be obviously very skilled in your calling ability.
Very skilled or very lucky.
Yeah, which is usually most hunting, by the way.
Sometimes it's just better to be lucky than good.
That's right, Todd.
Amen. All right, let's go through some of the scores from last night just to keep everybody up to speed. NBA, no big surprise, I would say, from last night in terms of Oklahoma City. Maybe how bad they beat the Lakers, 18 points.
Well, it might be a surprise to someone like HB, but...
Well, he did say in 7 yesterday, and they called him out and said, That's hopeful, right? That's wish thinking. And he said, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's not something that he thought that they would actually win. But going through the scores, Pistons continue their run after coming back from the Magic, beating the Cavs in game one, 111-101. The Lakers fall on the road at Thunder, 108-90. LeBron James, 27 points and 6 assists, which he continues to defy the one thing that eventually gets everybody, which is Father Time.
Not bad for an old man.
I'm telling. And speaking of old man, James Harden, 22 points in the Cleveland loss. Cade Cunningham, 23 points, leading the Pistons to victory. So early up, Pistons up 1-0. So are the Thunder, and I would be surprised. I mean, the Lakers.
The Lakers might get a game, or possibly two if the right things go their way.
I know Darrell's down the hall yelling at us right now saying they're going to get more than that, but I just don't believe it. And in hockey last night, which I know Trey is even more excited about, it was just one game. Wild beating the Avalanche 5-2. The Wild have scored like 16 goals, I think.
Yeah, that first game was nuts because it was what, like 8-6 or something like that?
13 goals in two games. Absolutely insane. So the Wild and Avalanche played last night.
I did actually watch a playoff game Friday or Saturday because I had a buddy in town from Utah, and he's got tickets.
Oh, to the Mammoth.
To the Mammoth. And so we watched a game. Which one they got put out? So
it wasn't
a great watch with somebody who's a fan.
Well, I will say,
but I am
this,
a little bit up on my NHL.
I will say this: hockey is much better in person.
Oh
than
yes,
it is on television.
Yes,
it's almost
yes.
essential, especially if you don't follow it.
I lived in DC.
I think it's essential. You have to go watch in person if you're not. If you don't watch it regularly.
In the early 90s and went and saw the Capitals play a couple of times, and it was an incredible experience.
You know what's amazing is hockey is one of those sports that, like we talked about Monday, it's so regional. The NHL just released the round one ratings. I just want you all to think about this from a comparative standpoint, okay, to what we consider the peak of, you know, sports watching, which is NFL football. It's 15 to 20 million a game.
Right.
Okay, a game. Hockey round one Stanley Cup playoffs delivered a 68% increase from 2025. All right, 68. Okay. So you would think considerable. Like, wow, that's a massive increase. Way to go. 1.2 million viewers per game.
Oh, man.
It just shows you the regionality of sports matters for NHL teams more than anything. It's not about getting national rankings. They're just never going to be there.
And like turkey hunting, it's an obsession.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. No, there's definitely a level to that of, hey, there's not a lot of scoring, you know, in hockey, unless it's the Avalanche in the Wild. So it is, I think, if you were to put a sport with each form of hunting.
Oh, man.
I think turkey hunting and hockey is a great comparison, Todd. What would be football?
That's got to be deer hunting.
It's got to be.
Yeah, it's got to be deer
hunting. People do it.
Most people do it.
Most people popular.
Most football fans.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's America's new pastime. Sorry, Todd.
That's all right.
I know you're a baseball fan.
What would duck hunting be?
College basketball?
Really?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
See, I was thinking America's pastime because it feels like it feels like an heirloom hunting of fathers and sons and grandfathers hunting, you know, where you share those early experiences. Because you take your kid duck hunting, it's a place that they can kind of, you know, hang out in a blind. They're not, hey, be quiet, don't say anything. It's, hey, try to blow this duck call. And they may blow a duck call so poorly that, you know, a spoonie drops out of the sky. You know what I mean? Like, you just never know. Like, I've seen that before where a kid blows a duck call and it's like, I cannot believe that duck just landed.
I can get behind that. I'm okay. So baseball.
I talked you into it.
You
talked
me into baseball.
Duck hunting and
there's
baseball.
There's a lot of tradition in duck hunting and a lot of tradition in baseball.
That's right.
That analog is good for me.
I mean, deer is definitely number one in terms of most hunters in the country are deer. So football would be the comparison.
It's got to be. Okay.
But see, that's what we can do on this show. Oh, yeah, we got a break. Carson Brumbaugh is coming up next. All right, coming up next, we're talking to Carson Brumbaugh, talking about the season that they are currently having, of course, up on the Hill. 32 wins already this season. They just finished a nice win against Ole Miss over the weekend with a walk-off home run. Now previewing the Oklahoma series, which will be the final homestand for the Razorbacks. Carson's coming up next, brought to you by Pinnacle Parties. You're listening to an acre-free zone on the Buzz Radio Network.
Being strange, I love you no other than me alone. Love me all day. I love you.
Political political strategist and host of the Sunday Buzz, Bill Vickery, gets in the mix with the guys on Morning Mayhem, courtesy of Arkansas's best Chevy dealers, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
This is SportsCenter.
Arkansas State pitcher Kyler Tengler pitched a no-hitter Tuesday night as the Red Wolves blanked the Little Rock Trojans 12-0 at Gary Hogan Field. Tengler, a Searcy native, faced just one batter above the minimum. He missed having a perfect game by hitting Cade Smith with a pitch in the fourth inning. Tengler did not walk anyone and finished with 9 strikeouts. Offensively, the Red Wolves got 2 hits each from Kaysen Campbell, Patrick Angstoff, Evan Griffiths, and Derek Martinez. The Red Wolves move on to their final Sunbelt home series of the season against Texas State on Friday, while the Trojans travel to Tennessee Martin. There was one other in-state Division I college baseball game Tuesday. UCA built an early 2-0 lead, but fell to Memphis 8-3. I'm Todd Pierce for the Buzz Radio Network.
When the unthinkable happens to your home or business, damage from water, smoke, fire, or mold, let Rainbow Restoration make you whole again. ArkansasRestorationExperts.com. They restore, you recover.
Oakland is here for when you want the ultimate escape, all in one place. Check into the luxury hotel. Escape to Astral Spa, the only Forbes 4-star rated spa in Arkansas. Indulge at award-winning restaurants like the Bugler or the Oak Room and Bar. All before having the time of your life at the 24/7 smoke-free casino, where the energy goes all night. Here, excitement and luxury meet under one roof. Oaklawn Hot Springs. Join the fun. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Floyd Seafood on Keele Avenue in Sherwood has live Louisiana crawfish. Place your orders by 2 p.m. Thursday for weekend boils. Floyd's also has a store full of Cajun goodies. Floyd Seafood in Sherwood, your homesick Cajun headquarters for live crawfish. Order by 2 p.m. Thursday.
Motorcycle riders are just like you and me. They could be your neighbor, your friend, your doctor, or maybe the pastor in your local church. More motorcycles are on the road than ever before in Arkansas, and it's time we started looking out for them. Look back a second time before you make that turn, or before you pull out in an intersection. It might take 2 seconds, but it just might save a neighbor's life. Take 2 for Arkansas. It's worth it. Look twice for motorcycles. A message from the Arkansas State Police Highway Safety Office.
Hawks Homes, Arkansas's number one dealer. They have more inventory than anyone in Arkansas. Hawks Homes is celebrating its 40th anniversary this month. In honor of that, Hawks is selling a home at $39,995. Hawks has other specials going on, other models as well. Be sure to take advantage of this great deal. Only lasts the month of May. We also offer custom-built manufactured and modular homes. 1 to 5 bedroom homes that can be built to accommodate your needs. Check us out at Conway and Bryant with over 65 models to choose from, or go online at hawkshomes.net.
Around here, reputation matters. That's why homeowners and businesses trust CertaPro Painters. From detailed residential work to professionally managed commercial projects, CertaPro delivers craftsmanship to protect your investment. Visit CertaPro.com, that's Certa with a C, and reserve your spring project today. It's Justin Akery for FanDuel. FanDuel and Oaklawn Sports have teamed up to give you big payouts. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. That's right, turn $5 into $150 in bonus bets just for getting started. FanDuel making it easier to get closer to the action, from player props on your favorite stars to all of the tools you need to back them up. It's everything you need, all in one app, so don't miss your shot. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Arkansas. That's FanDuel.com/Arkansas to get started. FanDuel is an official partner of the NBA, so regardless of whether you're rooting for the Thunder or the Spurs or anyone else in the league, FanDuel's got you covered. You must be 21 and up and present in Arkansas. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's time to catch up with Razorback shortstop Carson Brumbaugh.
BO2. Hammond fists it back up the middle, a rambling ball behind the bag, picked up and fired to first in time. Brumbaugh was there to make the play, and it's the second out of the inning.
The SEC Preseason Freshman of the Year from Edmond, Oklahoma, is number one in your program and number one in the zone.
Thank you.
Brumbaugh joins us each week courtesy of Pinnacle Parties. Take your party to the pinnacle with Pinnacle Parties. You can book your next celebration at 501-951-4234 or pinnacleparties.com. Now, let's head to the Hill and talk to Carson Brumbaugh.
All right, welcome back. Acre Free Zone, Chris Kane, Trey Reed, and Todd Pierce in the studio today. Welcoming in Carson Brumbaugh. Carson, congratulations on an outstanding series win against Ole Miss over the weekend. I know you guys are trying to put that in the rear view mirror. Move on, move forward. Got a big one against Oklahoma this weekend on the Hill. But take us back to that moment. I mean, you dominate them in game one and then have an off game in game two. Comes down to game three and it ends up being a walk-off home run to finish it off. What was that like, especially in front of the home crowd? That must have been a pretty special moment to be a part of.
That was definitely one of the highlights we're going to look back on of the season, in my opinion. I think, it just goes to show, like, guys who are not playing still continue to stay ready. And Christian Turner, like, if you had asked him before that game if he thought he was going to go in, he probably would have told you maybe in the end to, like, pinch run or play outfield. But, I mean, that originally was the plan. He comes in to pinch run for Stewart after he gets on in the eighth, and then they end up taking the lead. So he's going to get in that bat is what it's looking like. And then, I mean, it started with Sousa grinding out that at bat in the ninth, getting on base. And then Turner goes up there. They give him a pitch to swing. He gets down 0-1. They give him a stack bunt, and he misses it. So then he's 0-2. So it's just like he's going to have to fight. And we know that. And after a couple pitches, like, you could just feel it. You could just feel the crowd getting into it after he was battling, nodding his head. You could just feel it, something was about to happen, whether he was going to get a knock, whether he was just going to keep throwing balls off. He just knew something was going to happen. And I think the pitcher felt that as well. And then he hung a slider down the middle, and Christian did probably the best swing of his whole life and won us the series. It was special.
Carson, you led me right where I wanted to go, because I know Coach Van Horn in his postgame press conference was talking about how the crowd got into that bat the more Turner started fouling off pitches and was battling. Was that something that you guys could sense as well, that the crowd was trying to help him in that at bat, help him keep grinding?
100%. I mean, they played a huge role in it. I think, like, after the pitch that he started off right before he hit the home run, that was probably one of the loudest pops that I've heard all day going into that point. So you could tell the crowd was feeling his fight and appreciated it, and then gave him that boost of energy that he took to the next pitch and just enjoying the moment and crushing that homer.
Carson, I know you're a young player on the team, but when you talk with guys, like in the radio booth, we spoke earlier with Bubba earlier this week, and he was saying that every time Arkansas plays Ole Miss, and Arkansas has won the last six series against Ole Miss, so Hogs have been dominant in terms of the number of series wins, but it's always seemingly close, and there seems to be a really healthy rivalry there. Could you sense that on the field, especially late in that final game?
Yeah, I think we could sense it, like, as soon as we started playing them on Friday, to be honest. Like, you could just tell it was a different energy, and it meant a little bit more to play these guys. You're not really sure why, as a freshman coming in, like, why playing against Ole Miss, but then you experience games like that, and you get it immediately. I think we came out Friday night with a chip on our shoulder and took care of business. Dietz did what he does and got us out to a great start early. And then Saturday kind of got away from us a little bit in the first. I think a little bit of luck. They got a little bit of luck. They hit a home run in a grand slam in the first inning that usually doesn't go out. But I think the wind helped it a little bit. And, in this league, especially when you're down 5-0 early, it's tough to come back from. But I think, and our coaches harped on this, I think we did a good job still competing. And the guy who came in to close on Sunday, we got him in the game on Saturday. And he pitched on Saturday. So I think that played a role in, like, maybe you think, like, he's a little bit less, like, he's a little bit more fatigued going into Sunday because we got him into the game on Saturday. So I think even though we lost the game, we had small wins within the game that helped us win on Sunday.
Okay, so how much did you talk about having seen that pitcher that closed on Sunday and seeing him in the game on Saturday. I'm guessing that helps as far as reading tendencies, what he might like to do in a certain count or a certain situation. And that would be invaluable, I would think, knowing what you're about to face before you even get to the plate.
Yeah, for sure. Like guys who had saw him yesterday come up to Turner and like, hey, like I saw this guy yesterday. Like, here's what he's got. Here's what he's going to give you. I think that helps a ton. And being able to see the pitcher, like, personally, rather than just watching video on him, I think is a major plus as well. I think it helps a lot hearing from someone who really just saw him the day before rather than just watching video from a couple weekends ago or whatever it is.
And speaking of home runs on Sunday, did you guys see Cajillo's home run go into the food truck? Or if you didn't, did you know that's where it ended up?
I did. That was probably one of the farthest home runs I've ever seen hit in my whole life. And especially in person, it definitely was. I mean, that was impressive. He's really flipped the switch here these past couple weekends, and he's been putting together some really good ABs and just freaking battling. And that ball he hit was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
All right, now you got Oklahoma coming to town. Final home weekend series, especially in SEC play, before you turn the page to one more final series on the road in Lexington and then conference tournament. So preparing for number 24, Oklahoma, what stands out to them or about them as you guys have studied them leading into the series?
Yeah, for sure. I'm from Oklahoma, so that place is like 30 minutes from my house. My brother plays on the team there. So I think I know a lot of the guys because, like, during football season, I would go down and hang out with, like, my brother and catch a game. So I know a lot of these guys. So I think it's going to be a really fun series. I got a lot of family coming in for it. I know not a whole lot about how they play, but I got to watch them all their games in Arlington because I was there for my brother. So, I mean, they're a good team. They're streaky. They're coming off a tough weekend against Florida. But they're definitely coming in here, like, hungry and wanting to win. And, I think their pitchers, you never really know what you're going to get with them. They can either go 7 scoreless or they can walk the house. So hopefully we get the second option this weekend. So we'll just see how it goes. I think our preparation doesn't change from a standpoint of, like, just continuing to go out there and play our game. And I think that'll give us our best opportunity to win. But, yeah, I'm definitely excited to play these guys because, one, I want to beat my brother, and two, I know a lot of these guys, and they've been talking since the fall. So,
all right, let's hear it. What's the family going to be dressed as? How would the family be dressed trying to support both of you? We've seen this in sports before, whether it's split jerseys, hat of one team, jersey of another. What's the plan for this weekend for the family?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure. I'm excited to see how they do it, too, because we got a lot of them coming in. And I don't know if they'll just split it down the middle and one half where OU and one half where Arkansas, or maybe just neutral colors. I'm not really sure, but yeah, They're going to be in the in our family section, so they better not do anything too crazy, or our fans are going to give it to them, I would assume.
Yeah, see, Razorback red and Sooner red are so similar.
I was going to say, they could disguise it a little bit.
The color schemes are going to help out, I think.
Yeah. They can disguise, at least not be too obvious like it would be with another school like LSU. All right, have you ever played against your brother in baseball before, opposite teams? Is this the first time?
This is the first time.
Okay.
I've never played against him because he's older, and I was a freshman in high school when he was a freshman in college, so never got to play against him or with him. This will be the first time we'll share the field together.
Okay, and has there been any talk this week? I know you said leading up to it, like throughout the season, there's been some talk. Are you texting him this week, any smack, or has it been no communication this week since you're on opposite sides of the field?
Oh, no, 100%. We talk every single day.
Oh, nice. Okay, so okay.
Yeah, there's definitely been some smack talking going on for sure. That's my guy. We talk every day, so yeah, it's definitely gone. It's definitely been every day.
How much has he helped you? I know that you're going to be super competitive with him this weekend. How much has he helped you, though, as you've leaned on him as an older guy like he is, who's been around college baseball, a couple different teams already at this point? How much has he helped you in terms of your growth as a baseball player, as the younger brother?
Oh, yeah, he's helped me a ton, especially this year. Like, just being able to talk to him about things. I mean, he's been through it. This is his fifth year in college. He's kind of experienced all the trends of college baseball and how it goes.
And then just from like a baseball standpoint in general, just like being able to talk to him about my swing or whatever and literally anything. And he's like super, super like strong minded. I mean, he's gone through it. Like he's had 4 surgeries since he's been in college. So, I mean, he's gone through a lot of stuff and been able to make it through. So it's like being able to have that perspective and being able to talk to someone like that is definitely huge for me, for sure.
Well, I'm sure you love him a lot, and he's been a great influence, but I hope you guys beat the brakes off him this weekend, and I hope you get all the bragging rights, especially as a little brother. Good luck to you, Carson. Thanks for joining us today, buddy. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Carson Brumbaugh. Carson, good luck this weekend, facing against his brother, Caden, who, Todd, maybe at his previous school, you would have some conflicts of who to root for because he played 61 games for Nebraska.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Before transferring to Oklahoma. So, yes.
See, the Nebraska fan in me doesn't really like that a whole lot because we used to have a big football rivalry with Oklahoma back in the day.
So he transferred to the enemy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So, yes. So I'm easier to root against now.
Yes. Maybe a little. Maybe a little bit.
His name's Caden Brumbaugh, who Carson will be facing off against this weekend. You have brothers, Trey?
Yeah, I got a half-brother, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ever compete against him in anything?
No, he's like 8 years younger than me.
You can still dominate him growing up.
I did. You know, I was pretty mean to him. But I coached him. So we were on the same side, like in baseball. Yeah.
See, there you go. You put him down and then build him back up.
That's right.
And that's what we do. Yes, as brothers. It's called brotherly love. All right, 10:47. We got to take a break. We'll come back after this. And we've got much more of The Zone when we return here on Buzz Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hold me, you don't want no one to put you up there. Deep in the sky, does it ever get lonely? Thinking you could live.
Lost in the real estate jungle? Boundary or easement dispute? Title problem? Hire Lion Legal. There's no one better to protect your pride than our pride of legal lions. When in war, you need the roar. For exceptional communication and exceptional results in all real estate-related legal matters, hire Lion Legal to come roaring to the rescue.
Take it from Arkansas greats, Joe Klein and Pat Bradley.
The big national sports apps are now in Arkansas, taking over Oaklawn and Bentley, which are no longer local,
making Bet Saracen the only real local app.
I'm still Arkansans fan fave.
Plus, Bet Saracen is still the official sports betting app of many of the state's colleges and universities.
Bet Saracen, built by Arkansans for Arkansas.
Bet with Arkansans. Bet with Bet Saracen.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET.
Get in the conversation with live fan feedback at 1037thebuzz.com, presented on The Zone by Rainbow Restoration. When the unthinkable happens to your home or business, damage from water, smoke, fire, or mold, let Rainbow Restoration make you whole again. ArkansasRestorationExperts.com. They restore, you recover.
Attention. If you suffer from consistent pain in your joints caused by arthritis, overuse, or injury, you may be a candidate for a revolutionary therapy that could revitalize damaged tissue. This approach can provide long-lasting relief from pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, and other joints with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. To find out if you're a viable candidate, you may request a free consultation from QC Kinetics by calling 501-600-2763. Instead of masking the symptoms, it goes to the root of the problem to resolve it at its source. Already used by thousands of satisfied patients nationwide, this joint pain therapy is available right now to the public, but only for qualified candidates. Again, to find out if you're a viable candidate for this therapy, you may request a free consultation by calling QC Kinetics at 501-600-2763. That's 501-600-2763.
Roger Scott for Gravely Mowers here, working hard once again to make sure my lawn is lush, weed-free, and beautiful. And by working hard, of course, I mean watching Zach Eby mow it for me. Zach, tell the good folks hello.
Hello.
That's enough. Pay attention, because you missed a spot. What he didn't tell you is that you can take your very own Gravely Mower home today at 0% interest over 48 months. That's right, 0% interest on both residential and commercial mowers. Now, Zach, tell them where they can go and get their very own Gravely Mower.
Well?
Dude, just mow.
Chapel Hardware in Pine Bluff or Triple C Sales and Service in Conway.
The Zone Hotline on 103.7 The Buzz is presented by Jim's Razorback Pizza with two locations, Highway 10 past Taylor Loop and just off the Morgan Mall Mail exit.
It's Justin Akery here to tell you about my friends at UAMS, and if shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, it's time to go see the experts at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. There is no reason to live in pain. Whether it's some sports injury that happened recently, or you've got arthritis, or a long-term rotator cuff problem, or any other condition causing pain and limiting your movement, shoulder and elbow issues can make the simplest life tasks more difficult. The fellowship-trained physicians at UAMS Health are here to help. Go see Dr. Ryan Hill or Dr. Justin Rabinowitz, providing advanced care for a wide range of shoulder and elbow conditions with treatment plans designed to reduce pain, to improve function, and to help patients like you get back to everyday life. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health brings that same expert care to people across Arkansas every day. You can call them at 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Right now, Chris Kane, Trey Reed, Todd Pierce, here in the Buzz Radio Studios.
The Oaklawn Racing Casino Resort.
Thank you.
Spring Studio.
Thank you for clarifying, Todd. I need to go to Oaklawn. I need to go and just rest for a night. My daughter has had a stomach bug all week, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
She's been dealing with that. Hopefully, it's not...
Yeah, let's
too,
hope you don't
too aggressively transmittable.
Hand me the hand sanitizer, Todd.
I know you're a germaphobe anyway, aren't you?
No,
are you a germaphobe?
No, I'm
you're
not. At all. I'm not at
are
all.
You sure?
I'm just,
okay.
I'm just joking.
All right.
I'm
well,
just joking.
So anyway, that's been happening. Plus, last night, I don't know if anyone woke up, but there were some thunderstorms last night around
I
the
did
state.
Get up.
So,
yeah.
And we live in the same neighborhood.
Right.
You know, so.
The thunderclap at about 2:30, 2:45, somewhere. That's the one that got me.
So it was just thunderstorms last night. From what I've seen, I say this with full acknowledgement of being naive, of if there were anything major, I did not see it yet. So I apologize if what I'm about to say does not include what you know about what happened last night, maybe in some other areas. Maybe there was hail. Maybe there was something. But if you were on social media yesterday, at any point after, I'd say, 9, 10 a.m. in the morning, you started seeing maybe some rumblings of severe weather potential in the state for Arkansas. And the timing was not as certain. And bear with me. I know this is a sports show, but it's a sports and entertainment show. And I've got a rant. And Akery loves going off on things. That is what his Ari Gold-esque rants are legendary around here. But I am up to here with social media weather people. I'm done. I'm going to make sure I unfollow every social media. I will follow local meteorologists. I want to be that very clear. Local meteorologists are different. Weather people who are on social media put a little WX after their name and maybe pay the $10 for the check mark. Done. Everyone yesterday on that platform, on various platforms, Facebook and Twitter, were talking up like it was going to be an apocalyptic-like day of weather in Arkansas. Reed Timmer was in the state. And Reed, if you're in the state, I hope you leave right now. Get out. Don't come back for a while. Because number one, every time you're here, it means something really bad is going to happen. Or number two, you're just scaring people. And whatever kind of modeling and data you guys used yesterday was so far off and so wrong, I would hope you would publicly apologize for scaring people out of their minds yesterday around the state who were following, saying major tornadoes, likely, possible, whatever verbiage you want to use. It was over the top. It was overblown. And all you did was put people into a panic. Trey and I live in a neighborhood that was very close, and parts of it on the northwest side were impacted by the tornado a couple of years ago. And everyone who has been impacted by tornadoes in the state, which, by the way, at this point have been quite a lot of people, because we've had plenty throughout the years. So you've probably had a tornado come close to your neighborhood at some point. Gets a little anxious at times of severe weather. We're all used to it. We live in this state, and we've done that for a long time. But to have all these people, and they vague post more than anything. Vague posting just means, if you're not familiar with it, it means they post something without context. They post a graphic or a picture with eyeballs or oh my or ooh, look at this, without any type of context of what the graphic means or how it applies to you. And weather Twitter is by far the worst offender in the engagement economy, where they rely on clicks and views to literally fund their entire storm chasing operation. I'm done with you. It's over. I will delete my social media before I get back on it and see any of these posts ever again. Over it. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
That was a beautiful rant, Chris.
I'm done with the weather chasers on Twitter and on YouTube. By the way, YouTube, just as bad. They're all sitting there hoping, because it is how they make their money. And Ty Yacobian, who's, by the way, dear friend, he's got a podcast, and he sent me some, because I was ranting to him last night about it when all this was not happening, by the way. Not happening. When we were told it would be happening, it was not happening. And he sent me some. He does have a podcast, and he talked with someone recently about this, about the severe weather anxiety. And they frankly just said, don't get it from social media. And they're honestly, at this point, I think they're right in terms of just overall, yes. Can social media be helpful? Sure. But overall, it's way worse for you, and there's no point in going on there and scaring yourself and your family. And my kids, after being thrown in the car and trying to get away from that tornado, now every time there's a thunderstorm, you know, they're 8 and 6, but they're going to be impacted by that forever. And every kid who's gone through these severe weather events gets impacted by this, if you think long term. I remember growing up as a kid, my mom would take us down into the cellar, you know, at dinner time, because the sirens are going up. These are impactful memories. And for social media to do nothing but amplify and try and scare people into watching and viewing, only for there to be nothing, done.
So here's what's going on there, Chris. You talked about this with the Ryan Silverfield comment, and like, we've got to have something to talk about during the off season, football off season. It's like that 100% of the time with these social media
weather people. Done.
And
they were calling for, storms that were going to change the state. I mean, they had literally these models showing going from Fort Smith to Memphis, that there was going to be like some kind of, they were like, oh, it's going to cut the state in half, basically. Get out of here. Done. Sorry for taking up all 5 minutes of that time.
That's okay. Here's the thing, man. Count on the National Weather Service and your local meteorologist for your weather updates.
That is sound advice.
I get an alert every morning when there is severe weather. I just sign up at whatever their website is, the North Little Rock office. If they send something and they say it's like you need to pay attention,
worth watching,
pay attention.
Yeah. But
not social media.
Don't fall for the clicks. Don't fall for the wanting of you to watch their YouTube videos. They're chasing storms in the middle of the night that nobody can even see. Don't fall for it. All you're doing is giving them more of a reason to keep doing what they're doing.
90% clickbait.
All right. Top of the hour. We got to take a break. We're going to come back after this. Michael Felder's coming on at 11:30. We've got guests coming to the studio at noon from the Arkansas Food Bank, talking about an event coming up and much more of The Zone, Acre Free Zone, next on the Buzz Radio Network. Stay with us.
Memorial Day weekend. One day set aside to honor and remember our fallen. The other days are for you to unwind and relax at Lazy Boy of Little Rock. Comfort meets big savings with up to 50% off store-wide. Plus, free delivery, which means comfort comes to you. Memorial Day weekend. Honor and remember.